The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
Good morning. Not bad. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. This particular exhortation has been sort of percolating in my spirit now for several months. And my hope is that I can get out of the way enough this morning that the Spirit will bring some clarity to my thoughts. And I am just amazed at the timing for this particular message. How many of you have ever been faced with a huge project, either at home or work or school, some huge project? Kyle, what was it?
We had to design a bypass down in Issaquah.
A bypass down in Issaquah, okay? How'd you guys go about it?
We argued over who would do what, and then we just kind of went for it, because we've never done it before.
So you argued over who would be doing what jobs, and then you just, everybody just started flying off the handle and...
Well, then we'd come back together and talk about what we did and try to collaborate.
Collaborate, good word. Other projects that people have had to face. Lots of hands went up. Lori. Your daughter's wedding. Now, how did you go about doing that one?
I got lots of help and worked really, really hard for about 3 months.
For about 3 months. Did you sort of set out a plan?
Yeah.
From the beginning? Or did you just let it happen as you went?
It wasn't a very well thought out plan, you know, but most of it got done.
Okay. One more. Irene.
A job that nobody in the whole place wants to do.
And what do you mean, the call schedule?
The doctors, where they're at, when they're there, their weeks on call at the hospital, their weekends on call. Basically, I'm moving their evenings and I'm moving their weeks.
Now, how do you organize that?
Oh, my gosh, very carefully. It's a step-by-step process that I've never, ever done before. I worked 3.5 hours on it last night.
You know what that reminds me of? How many of you look at the Major League Baseball schedule and figure out how in the world does somebody figure out when this team is going to be here so that this team can be here so that that team can be over there? That just drives me crazy how they figure that out. I have no idea how that happens. But it happens every year. Nobody seems to run into each other where there are three teams show up in the same city to play each other. Somebody does figure that out. Well, today I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that for me in my life have created these huge projects. Okay, first question. Judgment Day honest. And I don't want you to symbolically raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. How many look at that sentence and are absolutely intimidated? Okay, good. Me too. It's like this huge sign up there screaming that you could waste your life. And it begs the question, what does it mean to waste your life? How do you do that? How do you waste your life? Some of you have begun, and others will begin tonight, to start to answer that question in the home fellowships. Now, we often answer that question culturally. And another phrase that we use for not wasting your life is to become successful. And how does our culture define success?
Money.
Money, possessions,
position.
Education. What do all of those things sort of point towards?
Being
Me, me, me. Happiness through material accumulation, all intended to cause us feel better about ourselves. That's what our culture would say would be a purposeful, successful life. Okay? We all have dreams. Don't we ask our 5 and 6 year olds what they want to be when they grow up? Don't we do that? We do that. And then we try to steer them certain ways. Don't you want to be a doctor? Or a nurse? Or an engineer? Or a firefighter? Or a teacher? Don't we want them to have these noble dreams so that they don't waste their lives digging ditches? There are people that would say that. My dad dug ditches all his life, and he was the best one at it. He was very good at working with his hands. And I have a healthy respect for men my age that are still working for a living. Anybody in here that would say they are living their dream? Okay, Mary, tell us about your dream.
I wanted to have kids and raise them to know the Lord and love Him. And that was my dream.
And you're living it.
I am.
Do you feel good about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else feel like they're living their dream? Greg.
I like to love people every day.
Feel like that's what you were built for?
It is.
Okay. Anybody else? Don. What's your dream?
To be a nurse and to love people like her.
Okay.
To be married.
Okay. That's always been my dream, to be married to Carl. Anybody in here feel like they've had a dream that's been frustrated? There's got to be more than one. Daniel?
Yes, but I don't want to share. I'd like to bear more fruit for the kingdom of God in ministry. More people come to the Lord to more witness for His glory. And we see that happen a lot more than it does.
Okay. If you're not involved in one of these groups, I encourage you. Anybody else who feels like their dream has been frustrated that wants to talk about it? Tony?
God's impressed on my heart to become a police officer, and it's been a long, hard journey trying to get to that point. He hasn't made it easy for me, but I think that there's a purpose for why I haven't accomplished that goal yet. I think part of it is he's trying to grow me in other areas, make me more disciplined, more responsible.
Okay. I knew when I was in junior high school that I was going to be a teacher. I knew that. Deepest part of my being, I knew that was the case. I had counseled at summer camps in the summer. I had absolutely, thoroughly enjoyed being around kids. Always into any kind of sport you could name, I was in that sport, so I wanted to go to school, be a school teacher, and be a coach. That I knew that's what was going to happen. Graduated from high school, started college, working towards getting my degree. Long story short, I ended up going into the Air Force halfway through my college career. And while I was in the Air Force, everybody I'd started school with to become teachers graduated, got their certificates, and they couldn't find a job as a teacher. And I thought, being very, very practical, what sense does it make to go back and get a degree in something that I won't be able to get a job in? And I took a couple of correspondence courses in business, found out that I was fairly decent in accounting. So I went back to college and became an accountant. And I'm still frustrated. I was frustrated up until the point where, having worked for Steve Mosseri and he decided to sell his dealership and sold the dealership, and I was one of the two people that they didn't keep in the dealership. They wanted their own accountant. And I thought, I just heard about a program at the University of Washington, Tacoma, where if you had a degree 1 year, we could get you certified to be a teacher. And I thought, that's me. I'm going to do it. Enrolled in it, got to become an emergency sub in the Tacoma School District and in the Franklin Pierce School District. Emergency sub almost every day for almost 4 or 5 months. Loved it. Did all of the work that I thought that I needed to do in order to get accepted into this program. There was 120 people applying for this program that they had 60 slots for. And they said I didn't have enough science and literature work in my undergraduate degree, so they kicked me out. They didn't accept me. And you know, that really bummed me out, because I thought this was the opportunity God was giving me in order to fulfill that dream. And I remember this was right towards the end of May, and I went back the day after Memorial Day to do another sub job, and I was there early getting ready for the school. And as I walked around praying over these chairs of these kids that were going to be there in a little bit, God said, I don't want you teaching kids how to do 2 plus 2. I want you to teach kids how to find my son. And all of a sudden, that dream sort of, it was like, okay, I can let that go. And God is giving me that opportunity to be with kids and teach them. Taylov Thursday night sang a song about dreams. And his implication was that, you know, if you weren't here, you'll really think this is silly. But, to the beat of the music, we were doing like this. We had our hands closed in a fist with our dream. And then at the end of the song, we let go of our dream, giving it to God. And his implication was that if we would be willing to give our dreams away to God, that he would grant our dreams. I'll have a little bit more to say about that in a minute. So how do we measure whether or not our lives have been wasted? Well, after reading, and then rereading, and then rereading Piper's book, I came to really appreciate his approach. After his own struggling with this question and coming to realize that the world's answers were no answers at all, he came to this conclusion, and I quote this out of his book. If there is only one life to live in this world, and if it is not to be wasted, nothing seemed more important to me than finding out what God really meant in the Bible, since he inspired men to write it. If that was up for grabs, then no one could tell which life is worthy and which life is wasted. Piper is convinced the answer is here. What is it that we have been teaching for quite some time now? That this Bible is all what?
Sufficient.
This Bible has life's answers in it. Now, Craig says he gets to love people all day long, but he sees people every day who don't believe this. And their struggle will continue until God gives them the grace to say yes to the truth. But the answers are here. Which leads me to the second question I want you to ponder. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 6:14. Got it? Somebody got a King James? Stan, you got the new King James?
Can't find it yet.
Verse 14. So, Kim, would you read 6:14 out of the King James?
But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified, and to him I am to the world.
Okay. New King James?
Just a minute. I'm still tripped there. Six fourteen.
Stan, by the way, is the one we need to thank for this sign.
But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
Mike, you have the NASB?
Of course. It may never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
NIV.
May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
Anybody have the Open Bible? Okay. Let me read it out of the New Living Translation. As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world died long ago, and the world's interest in me is long dead. Okay, listen to this amplification of the definition of that word crucified that was in almost all of those translations. The word steru. Quote, when Paul declared in Galatians 6:14, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, he meant that his regard for the crucified Savior was so great that the world had no more charm for him than the corpse of a crucified malefactor would have. Think about your concern for the corpse of Saddam Hussein hanging from that rope. Or Hitler blowing himself up in his bunker. No concern whatsoever. Let me read that again. He meant that his regard for the crucified Savior was so great that the world had no more charm for him than the corpse of a crucified malefactor would have. Nor did he take any more delight in worldly things than a person expiring on a cross would take delight in the objects around him. You're walking down the hallway, headed to that place where they're going to strap you to a table. Do you care whether or not you have a house with a 3-car garage in it? Or whether you have a bright, shiny car in that garage? Or that you have, this is not meant just because you all know what it means, this is not meant as a slam, the 50-inch ministry tool? Okay? Do you care when you're walking down that hallway whether or not those things are there? Do you care? You don't care. That's where Paul was. And Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We're surrounded by it. Even here, we have stuff all around. In our homes, our schools, our jobs. There's stuff everywhere. And God has granted us the ability to use the stuff we need and even some of the stuff we want for our pleasure. It's okay. But if our lives are centered on acquiring and guarding and protecting the stuff, we're probably wasting our lives. I have sat and meditated on this verse and wondered, how close am I to that standard? Guess what? Not very close. But it's the desire of my heart to be there. I understand that this is a lifelong, everyday project that's going to take a conscious commitment. How often? Every day. But God's Word doesn't leave me hangling, dangling out there in the wind. He's given me these verses as encouragement. And if you want to write these down, I would encourage you to write them down. These are good words that would encourage you to stay on course. You don't have to copy them down, just write down the reference. Hebrews 13:5. Stay away from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never forsake you. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. And Ephesians 2:10, my life verse. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. I'm here on purpose, and I was saved with something in mind. Now, what about our dreams? What about those dreams? God gives us dreams and visions that fire us up, that get our juices flowing. Some people he gives a very special call to. What if your name was Jonah out of the Old Testament? Or Saul out of the New Testament? What if all of a sudden God came to you and gave you a message? Or knocked you off your mule? Would you run from the call like Jonah did? Or would you embrace it like Paul did? Not all of us are going to be called into full-time ministry. In fact, most of us won't. But God has given each of us aptitudes. He has given us abilities. So how do these things fit in? Let me explain it this way. This was our theme at the summer camp I spoke at. Don't waste your life. That banner was posted. They had a worship band that was on an elevated platform, and right above them was this sign. So the kids saw it every time they came into this chapel area. They saw it every time I was speaking. I pointed to it all the time, brought their attention to it. And on the first night of chapel, this would have been a Monday night, I gave all of the kids and all of the counselors a piece of paper, and I said, draw on this piece of paper what you think you might want to be when you grow up. Now, these are kids going into fourth, going into seventh grade. And I thought maybe 50% of them would have some idea of what they wanted to be when they grew up. I was amazed. At least 90% of the kids had an idea. I don't see Stephen here. I saw David when he'll be like, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old. Saw him. This kid is so sharp, so bright, so intelligent. And he didn't have a clue. But most everybody else did. There were two or three people who wanted to be involved in interior design. Two pediatricians, not just doctors, they knew they wanted to work on kids. There were teachers, there were firemen, there were the dreams that I had. A couple of kids wanted to be pro football players. One of them I think I will be watching on Sunday. All kinds of dreams. Then I used these things to talk about how they fit in with God's plan. We used Ephesians 2:10 as the theme verse. Here's some more verses. More verses for encouragement. I would encourage you to write these down. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your paths. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Then He said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition. Shoulder your cross daily and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life." My purpose was to teach these kids that God gives us the ability, gives us all some ability to do something well. Now, we're not all math whizzes like Kyle. Okay? None of us, most of us, will not know how the human body works like our nursing contingent. Okay? We can't make music like the worship team, most of us. Most of us can't use hand tools like Craig and I. What? The point is, we have all been given the ability to do something well, or have been trained to do something. I have had the opportunity to go into a lot of school rooms to do that Smart Love presentation. These are 8th graders, 9th graders, some 10th graders. And you look at these kids and you wonder, how in the world are these kids ever going to amount to anything? Most of them can't read. Most of them can't spell. They have a hard time doing anything but this kind of stuff here. And then you look at our military, stocked and manned by kids that are 18 to 25 years old, and they do their job so very well. And they have been trained, and their training has paid off. Okay? We've been gifted. We've been trained. And if we follow our giftings, is it still possible to waste our lives? Absolutely. Let me tell you what I told the kids, and this is where I would differ from Taylor. We have a couple of campfires during the week at this camp, and the second one is on Thursday night, and we bring all of the kids down to this very large campfire area with benches, and the kids sit there, do a few songs, and then the director always encourages them, the kids, to come forward and to say what they have learned during this week, what God has been teaching them. And they will take, what they have been encouraged to do is take a pine cone, big box of pine cones, take a pine cone, speak as loudly as they can so everybody can hear, and then throw it as a memorial into the fire to God. Okay? One girl, little tiny girl. This is Haley. A few years ago. I mean, she is really small. She wanted to be one of those interior designers. But she said, "I don't want to be an interior designer. I want to be a design superstar." She watched HGTV. And she knew what she wanted to do. Well, little Sarah came forward that night and said, took this pine cone and said, "God, if you want me to be a designer, great. If not, that's great with me too." Those dreams, we all have dreams. And if we just give our dream to God and expect that He's going to grant it because we gave it to Him, I think is probably missing the point. God does gift us. He does put things in our hearts and says, this is what you feel like, this is what you got to do. But until you're ready to say, "God, I want what you want. Your will, not my will." I'm not suggesting anything. I'm not trying to put any pressure on anybody. But Kyle and Heidi have some incredible education behind them. Incredible opportunities in front of them in this culture. they both could establish and accumulate a lot of wealth. But what if God granted them that education and that training that they might go to Kenya to work in this hospital? Heidi to work in the hospital, Kyle to design stuff that they need. What if that was the purpose? Wouldn't that be cool? And Kyle and Heidi have got to get to the point where they say, God, not my will, but your will. And then they have to be willing to do it once God calls. I'm 59 and a half years old. Wow. Never thought I would get that old. And it's possible I could have been wasting my life to this point. Is it too late for me and you to stop wasting our lives? It's never too late. My responsibility to God is to be the very best accountant I can possibly be. To do my job very well so that He is pleased with the product that I produce. And then I am to be excited about the opportunity to say that God is the one that enabled me to be able to do that. So that those working around me say, Why would you be that crazy? Why would you say that? And not just in that part of my life. Every aspect of my life is to be like that. To be absolutely delighted to give God all the credit. Now, if I took the approach that I did this project and got it all done and everything's looking hunky-dory and it was like, God help me do that. Think that's going to inspire anybody? Would it inspire you? You know, when the Rams won the Super Bowl and Kurt Warner was interviewed, and I don't know if he was MVP of that game or not, but they interviewed him right after the game and he said, first things first, praise goes to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody remembers that. Tony Dungy last year was the same way. I want to leave you with a verse. It's the verse that Tony read that I have found to be very encouraging in this whole process. Now remember, this is an intimidating sentence about not wasting your life. And it's Zechariah 4:10, the first part of it. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Got to start somewhere. Got to start somewhere. And the first place it seems you should start asking is, God, how do I measure up to Galatians 6:14? Am I dead to the world, and does the world care about me? The world does care about you. Every time you turn on your TV, you're allowing the world to care about you. That's not an editorial comment like I had it together, because I turned the TV on. But I noticed that's the case. Don't be discouraged if the project of becoming crucified to the world looks insurmountable. It is insurmountable without God's help. But remember, His eyes are looking throughout the earth to strengthen the heart of anyone fully committed to Him. That it is not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. And the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Mike, would you come on up here as I pray? I want to pray. I want you to ask yourself, where am I in relation to Galatians 6:14? Heavenly Father, this is one of those things that has given me great fits, because I know how easy it is for me to give in to the flesh and to the world, and Lord, to be drug along a dirty, rotten, stinking path. But God, I want to get to the point where you are so magnificent in my eyes that the world does actually fade away. And I pray that that would be the case for everybody in this room this morning. God, call us, strengthen us, give us the encouragement we need to continue on this path. Because, God, we do want you to be magnified. We do want you to be glorified in our lives. And we do want to enjoy you now and for eternity. So, Lord, do the work that only you can do. But, God, cause us to come to the trough in the first place to take a drink. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. We invite you to visit our website at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us. You can call us at 253-531-1672. Our mailing address is 3714 East 84th Street, Tacoma, Washington, 98446.